Good morning, everyone. We welcome you to our morning service in the Saviour's great name. We're glad of your presence, thankful for the opportunity to fellowship together again at the commencement of a new week. Hebrews 13, verse 20, let me just read that verse to you. We're going to think today a little about the shepherd. It says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." We pray the Lord will encourage our hearts through this verse of his word. Psalm 23, the familiar and precious words, we're going to sing them together as we commence the service. "The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by." We apologize, we have a screen not functioning this morning. We trust that that doesn't make it too difficult for you to see the words. The Psalm 23, please, we'll stand together as we sing. Just seek the Lord together, please. Lift our hearts to the Lord for his blessing today. Heavenly Father, we come into your house and into your presence. Thankful, Father, we're able to be at this meeting. We praise thee, Father, for enabling us to be in thy house. We can say with the psalmist, "And I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up to the house of the Lord." We pray, Father, that you'll give us a greater love for thy house, a greater love for your people, for fellowship together, a greater, Father, love for the for the work of the gospel, for the cause of Christ. We pray that that love might strengthen in our hearts, even as we meet together in your house and around your word today. Fathers, we bow before thee. We come to worship thee. We want to give to thee the praise, the worship, the adoration of our hearts. We ask thee, Father, to give to us the fullness of the Spirit today. We pray that we'll know the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We pray that he might not be given in a small measure to us. We ask, Father, for the fullness of thy Spirit and the fullness of your power to rest upon us. And Lord, we want to ask that you'll help us to worship thee aright today in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable before thee and acceptable in thy sight. We pray, Father, that you'll help us even now just to give to thee the praise of our lips and the worship of our hearts. Lord, save us from drawing nigh with our lips while our hearts are far away from thee. We take a moment, Father, to remember how you've blessed us. We take a moment, Father, just to acknowledge the provision that you've made for us, even in these very trying days. We think, Father, of days of increasing cost, the cost of living that is rising so rapidly. And yet, Father, we can say that you've given us every day our daily bread. There's never been a day that we've lacked. Never been a day, Father, that we have been in need. We acknowledge the greatness of your goodness. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And Father, we can say that our lives are full of your goodness. And we thank you today, Father, that we're able to testify of all that you provided for our homes and for our families. And as we look back with thankful hearts, Lord, we look into the future with our trust completely in thee. We ask that you'll increase our faith. We pray that you'll help us, Father, to lift our eyes from ourselves, from our circumstances, even, Father, from the circumstances that prevail in our land and internationally too. And may our eyes ever be upon the Savior. We pray for a glimpse of Christ today in this meeting. As we come, Father, to open up the book of God, our desire is that we would see the Savior. We pray that you'll show us thyself. Lord, what a difference it would make to this meeting. And we would ask, Father, that you'll do for us what you did for the disciples those many years ago. The scriptures tell us then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Lord, we ask that you'll give us that sight, even in the service today. Bless this congregation. Thank you, Father, for those who are brethren and sisters in Christ. Thank you for the common salvation that binds us together. And Lord, we pray that we'll dwell and meet together and labor together in unity as a band and as a congregation of your people. We want to thank you for all that has been done for the Lord here over the summer. We think of the outreaches in which we've been engaged. We thank, Father, of the children's work, the holiday Bible clubs. Thank you, Father, for all of these things. And we want to pray that there will be fruit that will be born from them. We ask, Father, that you'll use your word that went forth to the hearts of the children and the word of God that has gone forth to this community and even through other outreaches like the 12th of July as the word of God went forth to many from even much further afield. Oh God, we're praying that you'll give us much fruit from that work, from that labor. We pray that there'll be fruit that will remain. And Lord, as we look to the future in your will, the new season soon to begin, we're glad that we can commit that into your hands. Your word says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We ask thee, Father, to guide every step that we would take, even as a church, as a congregation. We pray for wisdom. We pray for the mind of God, especially, Father, guide the office bearers of this church. We pray that they'll know, the men of Issachar of old, an understanding of the times, just to know what Israel ought to do. Lord, do guide in all that takes place. We cry that you'll encourage us in this new season. We're praying, Father, for increase to be given. You're the one that gives the increase, so our eyes are upon thee. Give the increase in every department of this church and of this congregation. Lord, our prayer is that the testimony of Christ here will advance, that it will go forward. Lord, as we look out upon our land, we see the barrenness spiritually. There's much ground that's to be possessed. And Lord, there's a work to be done that only thou canst do. So we lift our eyes heavenward today, pleading that the Lord will come down. Come down upon this church. Come down, Father, upon this city. Come down, we plead, again in great blessing upon this province of ours. We ask, Lord, that you'll move again mightily, even by your Spirit. We ask thee, Father, that you'll remember the families of our congregation at this time. May the blessing of God be upon them. Give help, Father, especially to those families where there's ill health, those that are experiencing weakness and infirmity, the senior members of this congregation, some that are no longer well enough to be with us. Lord, draw near to them. We ask, may they be conscious of your presence. We pray that all that are unwell will know the strengthening and the healing touch of God. We're mindful, Father, of our sister Maisie at this time especially. Pray that you'd grant Maisie a healing touch. Pray that very soon she'd be restored to full health and strength. We're mindful of the Nugent family at this time as well, the sadness, the bereavement that they have experienced in this past week as they've been to the graveside in the laying just to rest of Brian's dear mother. Lord, we ask thee to be with the Nugent family. We pray that they will know the comfort of God just at this time. Your word says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. We thank you, Father, for the sureness, the certainty of the promise, and we want to pray that you'll fulfill it for Brian and Sandra and the family just at this time. Lord, we ask thee to remember the families of our congregation that have loved ones out of Christ, those that are upon the hearts of your people here, those that they're concerned for. Lord, our prayer is that those family members would be spoken to. We ask the Lord to be gracious, to be merciful. We remember the promise, Lord, how often we've pleaded it in this house. Families have pleaded it privately, that if we believe that we'd be saved and our house. And Lord, we're crying to thee today, give every family of this church household salvation. We ask, Father, on that day when the roll is called up yonder, that every one of our family members might be there. Remember the children, the young people. Lord, we think of the schools, the recommencing, how quickly the summer has fled away. But Lord, we pray that you'll be with the children, the young people. We commit them into your hands. We know the many pressures that are upon them, even evil pressures and things that they're taught that are not in keeping with the teaching of thy word. O God, keep our children. We pray of thee, watch over them. We ask that you'll give them just the strength, the help, the wisdom that is needed, even to be faithful to God in their schools. We pray that you'll give them the wisdom needed for their studies, for every class and every subject. The word of God tells us so clearly that the Lord giveth wisdom. Lord, ask thee to give our children just the wisdom that is needed. And you've told us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And to fear God and to depart from evil, that is great wisdom. Lord, grant us that to us. Grant it to our land, we pray, in these days in which we're found. Remember those that labor on the mission field. We think of our sister recently that has left us to return to the land of her calling. Lord, do be near to her sister. Keep your hand upon her. Keep her safe. Keep her in health and strength. We ask thee to bless her labors. We pray that you'll open up the doors for her to go out into the community to present the gospel. We pray that you'll be used, the bringing of many to Christ. We're mindful too of her family that remain here at home. Lord, be near to them. Grant them just the sufficiency of your grace, even for this time. Lord, hear these our cries. Abide with us through this meeting. We pray you'll bless every part of this service. May the tide of blessing come in And Lord, especially give us an Emmaus Road experience today around your word. May our hearts burn within us while you talk with us by the way. We offer these, our prayers, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read together from the Word of God. We're going to read the words of the 23rd Psalm. We sang them together just at the outset. Let's just take time to read them. The Psalm 23. Many, perhaps most in the service, could quote these words. How familiar they are to us. Our prayer is they'll come with freshness to our hearts today. The 23rd Psalm, the first verse, let's hear God's word. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts today. I want to welcome you to our morning service. We thank you for your presence with us today. We pray the Lord will draw near to us, especially in our time around his word. We're glad to see each one that is gathered in the Lord's house. Thankful to the children, the young people, for coming along to morning worship as well. We pray that you'll be blessed by the meeting today. We welcome also those that are joining us on our live stream, and our prayer is that the word of God will be an encouragement and a help to your heart, that you'll profit from it. It is good to be back with you again. We did have a good break. We look forward to the new season. Pray the Lord will encourage us all in our labours. We thank sincerely all that helped with the meetings during the period that we were off. We appreciate all that you did very much indeed. Remember, please, tonight, the prayer meeting at 6, downstairs in the hall. 6:30, the gospel service. The theme this evening is, you can't get to heaven without salvation. Tuesday night at 7:30 is the next meeting of the church committee. Just to remind the brethren of that, the meeting will be held in the hall downstairs. Wednesday night at 8, our prayer meeting and Bible study, again downstairs in the church hall. And in the will of the Lord, I'll be leading and speaking at that meeting myself. Next Lord's Day, the 4th of September, the service is all at the usual times, 11:30 a.m., 6:30 p.m. Please remember the half hour of prayer before the evening service, and I'll be the speaker at both of those meetings. Just to remind you that the Sunday school and the Bible classes recommence in 2 weeks' time. That's the Lord's Day, the 11th of September, 10:40 in the morning. And the Sunday school prize giving will also take place that day. It'll take place in the morning service of that same Sabbath day. So that's this day, 2 weeks. There is a note of thanks on the notice board from our sister that just returned to the mission field. We did read that note on Wednesday night just before the prayer time. If you weren't present, we encourage you to take the time to look at the note yourself. We have posted it there just that you would have the opportunity to see what our sister expressed to us as a congregation. Just to make you aware that the presbytery will be meeting here, God willing, this coming Friday evening at 8 o'clock, the first presbytery of the new season. It's the annual general meeting of our presbytery. So we ask you just to pray for that meeting, pray for the Lord's presence, the Lord's guidance, and the Lord's blessing to rest upon it. The Bethany Church in Portadown, they're holding a youth rally. That'll be next Sabbath evening, the 4th of September at 8:45 in the evening. There'll be a special testimony from our brother Chris Killen that works under the board. We're all familiar with our brother Chris. And then the soloist is Miss Trinity McConnell. And there's to be hot food and some fellowship after the service. We just want finally to extend our sympathy to Brian and Sandra Nugent and the family on the death of Brian's mother, Myrtle. Myrtle passed away in the early hours of Monday morning. The funeral service was on Wednesday afternoon past in Killaleigh Parish Church. Myrtle would have been 89 today. She spent the last 6 to 7 years just in the nursing home here in Armagh. We do want to take the opportunity just to assure Brian and the family of our deepest sympathy and our prayers for the days that lie ahead. We pray they'll know the Lord's presence and the Lord's comfort just at this very sad and difficult time for them. We're going to sing some verses of another hymn together. It's the hymn 381. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. 381. We'll stand and sing all of the verses of the hymn together, please.
Blessings, angels will attend. Help
Just pray together, seek his face. Father, we want to ask that we'll know a greater sense of your presence as this meeting continues. We pray that you'll come down and tabernacle with us, come and visit us in thy house this Sabbath day. Lord, come and touch our hearts, especially through your word. We remember those that followed King Saul, a band of people whose hearts the Lord had touched. Lord, come and touch our hearts in this meeting today. Touch our eyes as well. Take away the blindness. Take away the scales. Give us eyes, Father, to see great and wondrous things from out of thy law. We pray for a word from thyself. We want to pray that you'll speak in this house, speak to our hearts. Speak, Father, to all that are gathered. We pray that you'll encourage your people. We pray you'll comfort our hearts. We want to pray you'll strengthen our hands. We pray that you'll give us encouragement for the days that lie ahead. And Lord, we want to pray for the unconverted, the unsaved, that you might come and speak to their hearts. We want to ask, Lord, that even in this house today, that there will be one that would taste and see that the Lord is good. Answer our cries. And we plead, Father, just come down and anoint us now by your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The 23rd Psalm, we'll take the first verse as our text. We want to consider the whole of the Psalm together in the meeting this morning. The Psalm 23, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The theme of the message is a message of encouragement for every day of your life. Can I highlight or point out to you, a psalm is a poem, and it's a poem that is sung to musical accompaniment. And we have done that as part of the worship here in the Lord's house this morning. The 23rd Psalm, as we come to it, we could describe this as the Psalm of Psalms. It's the best known. In many regards, it would be true to say it's the most sung of all of the Psalms in the Psalter, in all the 150. Can remind you that David didn't write all the Psalms. Some of the Psalms were written by men like Asaph. Asaph was gifted musically. He was one of those that led the worship in the temple of God. Even Moses, the man of God, sometimes that surprises the Lord's people, but the great 90th Psalm, "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations," that psalm was penned by Moses, the man of God. So just to highlight that, to dispel that idea from your mind, David did not write all of the Psalms. He is described as the sweet psalmist of Israel, but he did not write all the Psalms in the Bible. The 23rd Psalm was written by King David. This is his most famous psalm. I have to highlight to you, we're not sure when the psalm was written. It was probably when he was older. We'll say a little bit more about that later. But what that means is that you can apply this psalm to every circumstance. You can apply it to every situation, and you can apply it not just to youth, but you can apply it to every stage of life. There was an old divine many years ago that said, "Blessed is the day when the Psalm 23 was born." And we all agree with that, brethren and sisters, because of the help, because of the comfort, and because of the blessing that this psalm has been to our hearts. It is true to say that mostly this 23rd Psalm is associated with death. It's generally just sung at funerals. But I want to point out to you this morning that this is not just a psalm for a person's last day. This is a psalm, men and women, for every day of your life. And it's important to say that. Think of how the psalm ends in verse 6. All the days of my life. So I want to remind you, I want to stress that, impress it on your hearts this morning. The blessings that this psalm reveals and speaks of are for every day of your life. What encouragement that is. Not just for the end of life, it's for every day of your life. There are three main sections in the psalm. I encourage you to study them carefully. The first, he leads us into the glen. He leads us into the green pastures. The second section, he leads us into the gorge. That's into the valley of the shadow of death. And then in the third section of the psalm, thirdly and finally, he leads us into glory itself, into the house of the Lord forever. So there are three main sections, and I encourage you to note them and to study them very carefully. There are some points that will help unfold the psalm. It'll help you in your understanding of it. Let me just mention those to you as the Lord will give us help. The first is the person it reveals. Notice how the psalm commences. The Lord is my shepherd. And I want to point out to you, men and women, I want to make clear to you today, the person the psalm reveals is the Lord Jesus. Remember, it's important to compare one scripture with another. And if you compare Psalm 23 with John 10, you'll find that the person here is the Lord Jesus. Remember, John 10 speaks about the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. So the shepherd here is Christ. He is the good shepherd. He's the one that is spoken of. So this psalm is all about Christ. And I encourage you never to forget that in all your reading and singing of this psalm. And what a difference that makes. I want to encourage you to take time a little later when you go home. Read the psalm again. But read the psalm with that truth in mind, that this is a psalm that is all about Christ. Can I encourage you to look for Christ in all the scriptures? The Savior said, search the scriptures, for they are they which testify of me. The Bible is a book about Christ. Remember on the road to Emmaus, it says he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So I want to make that clear. It's not just in the Psalms we're to look for Christ. The whole book, the whole Bible is about the Savior. So we should pray with the Greeks of old. We would see Jesus. Let that be your prayer this morning. Do you remember those that went to Emmaus? It says that their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And that's often our condition. That's often our problem when we come to the reading and the studying of the Word of God. So we need to ask the Lord to take away the blindness and to open up our understanding. You think of the word Lord. It's the sacred name Jehovah. The Jews only pronounced that name once every year. And that was on the great day of atonement. If you combine these two names, you have the worthy title Jehovah Jesus. And brethren and sisters, that's a clear reminder that the Lord Jesus is God. The Lord Jesus is Jehovah. It stresses his two natures. He's God and man. And I urge you this morning, read the psalm that way. Jehovah Jesus is my shepherd. And what a new meaning, what a new appreciation that will give to you for these verses. Be encouraged today by that thought, by that knowledge. What need can you have that cannot be met by his twofold nature? Remember, as Jehovah, he is all power. As Jesus, he is all sympathy. As Jehovah, he sustains all worlds. As Jesus, he ever liveth to make intercession for his people. As Jehovah, he is the sovereign Lord of all. As Jesus, he still walks the pathway of this world by our side, whispering softly, "Fear not, little flock." So I say to you again, What need can you have, my brother, my sister, that cannot be met by his twofold nature? And keep in mind, as you think of Jehovah Jesus, that all of the Jehovah titles apply to Christ. And many of those Jehovah titles, if not all of them, are found in this 23rd Psalm. Read men like Bullinger, Wiersbe, Moody, and they develop that theme very clearly for you. For example, verse 1, you have Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verse 2, you have Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. He leadeth me beside the still waters. In verse 3, you have Jehovah Zakenu, the Lord our righteousness. Again, that third verse, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his great name's sake. In verse 4, you have Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. When we pass through the dark valley, thou art with me. So that's just a start, just a primer, as it were. There are others. There's a little bit of further study that you can engage in yourself. The Jehovah titles that are found in this 23rd Psalm. So the person, it reveals. David saw Christ. He saw the Savior. And I pray, if nothing else, in this meeting today, that you will see him too. Then there's secondly, the position that it occupies. Thinking of its position, I want you to think of the position of this psalm in the book of Psalms. It's placed there between Psalm 22 and Psalm 24. Can I remind you, there are no chance arrangements in the Word of God. Paul said to Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God by His providence, God by His Spirit, has arranged the order as well as the words that are found within the Scriptures. And I want you to consider that carefully. If you think of Psalm 22, it's the Psalm of the Cross. It's a messianic psalm. It looks forward to Christ's sufferings. There are many references to that. If you look at the first verse of the 22nd Psalm, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's unmistakable. That's the middle cry of Christ upon Calvary's cross. Note the end of verse 16 of that 22nd Psalm. It says, they have pierced my hands and my feet. You're standing here on holy ground. They pierced the hands and the feet of the Savior. Look as well at verse 18 of that 22nd Psalm. It says, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. So we see what the soldiers did with his clothing. So read the psalm carefully, brethren and sisters. Read it prayerfully. There's much of Christ. There's much of Christ on the cross. There's much in that psalm of the great sacrifice that he made for us as his people. So here in Psalm 22 is the good shepherd. He gives his life for the sheep. It speaks of his crucifixion. It speaks of how he died for us. It points us back to Calvary. In Psalm 22, you see Christ yesterday. But in Psalm 23, it's the psalm of the crook. Verse 4, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The staff reminds us of the guidance, the protection of the shepherd. You know the hymn we often sing? Jesus leads me all the way. When we learn that here in this psalm, he leads us through life. He leads us through death. And then he leads us out into eternity. So here's the great shepherd of the sheep. I read those words to you at the beginning of the meeting from Hebrews chapter 13. Brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. The one that's watching over the flock. The theme of this 23rd Psalm is consolation. How he consoles, how he comforts us as his people. By the crook and by his staff. Here we see Jesus today. We see in this 23rd Psalm the current work, the current ministry in which our Savior is engaged. Then in the Psalm 24, well, it's the Psalm of the Crown. If you look at the 7th verse of that 24th Psalm, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Here we're looking forward to His coming, to His return. Here we're reminded of the prospect that the King is coming again, and He's coming to reign. In this 24th Psalm, you see the chief shepherd. Remember, Peter said, "When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory." So the Psalm 24 teaches us about the coronation of the King. Men and women, Christ is coming. And He's coming for us as His people. He's coming to reward us as His people. So here is Christ forever. Remember the book of the Revelation, "He shall reign forever and forever." So I want you to see it's clear. There's much to learn from the position of the Psalm in the whole book of Psalms. And there are many examples of that truth in the Scriptures. Think of the first 6 books in the Bible. Genesis speaks of ruin by the fall. The book of Exodus speaks of redemption by the blood, especially the 12th chapter, the blood of the Lamb applied to the doorposts and the lintel. The book of Leviticus speaks of reconciliation of sinful men to God. In the book of Numbers, there's a message of resignation of God's people to the divine will. In the book of Deuteronomy, we learn about regulation, how to regulate your life, to live your life by the law of God. Remember, Deuteronomy means literally the second giving of the law. And then the book of Joshua, well, that teaches us about reward, entering into the land of promise. So here, brethren and sisters, God's plan of redemption in the first 6 books of the Bible. So I want you to see, want you to grasp, learn this morning, it is important to note, it's important to pay attention to the position of a chapter, to the position of a book in the whole canon of Scripture, because there's great spiritual truths to be learned and to glean from that. So that's the position that it occupies. Think in the third place of the provision it displays. Can I point out, verse 1 is really the title of the psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." This psalm, men and women, is all about His provision for His people. All who can truthfully, sincerely say, all in this meeting today, who truthfully and sincerely say, "The Lord is my shepherd," well, they can claim the promise, "I shall not want." The reality is, in possessing Christ, we possess all things. So I want you to be encouraged by that truth, that knowledge today. And the list of His provision that's given in this psalm, it's long, it's comprehensive. Study it yourself. In fact, take the time to study it with a notebook. Write down the truths that the Lord reveals to you. The fact is, there are a few places in the Bible where we see and read of the fullness of His provision more than we do here in Psalm 23, in just 6 short little verses. This, brethren and sisters, is a precious portion of God's Word. I encourage you to study it carefully. What we learn here is that Christ fully supplies and satisfies His people. His provision can be summed up like this: "Beneath me, green pastures. Beside me, still waters. With me, my shepherd. Before me, a table spread. Around me, mine enemies. Upon me, anointing oil. After me, goodness and mercy. And beyond me, the house of the Lord forever." So what provision, men and women? Here is a truth that should encourage your heart. Here is the great truth of Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. And notice how the fullness of his provision is stressed in the psalm. At the end of verse 5, we're told, "My cup runneth over." Just ponder that for a moment. That is, our lives are overflowing with his blessing, with his provision for us. You know the little chorus we often sing, running over, my cup's full, and running over. So think of the cup running over. That is the picture. He provides more than we need. His provision for us is so full that others can taste and experience of it as well. So it's good to remember that in these very difficult days in which we live. Good to acknowledge that, to worship God and to thank him for it as we're met here in his house. So here we have David the shepherd. With all his experience out there in the field of caring for the sheep, and as he considers the provision that he made for the flock, he realizes, God reveals to him, that all that he was to his sheep, the Lord is to him, and 1,000 times more. And so it is, brethren and sisters, for us as the Lord's people today. So here we learn clearly, powerfully, the fullness of his provision. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And as you consider today the Lord's provision for you, never forget that his greatest provision for us is salvation. The third verse, he restoreth my soul. The Lord has provided for our souls. The Lord has provided our every spiritual need. You know, often when we think of the Lord providing for us, we look over that fact of how he's provided for us spiritually. Think of it like this. He has saved your soul. He has forgiven your sins. He has provided salvation for you. Every spiritual need supplied. As you think of the three sections of the psalm, the Lord's provision can be summed up like this. He takes care of our frailty. He leads us into the green pastures and by the still waters. He takes care of our foes. Remember, the table spread and the enemies around. And the Lord's with us even when we pass through the dark valley. So he takes care of our frailty, he takes care of our foes, and he takes care of our future as well, our eternal future in the house of the Lord forever. And only the Lord, men and women, only the Lord can do that, provide for us so fully and comprehensively. So here is what grace has done, what grace there is in the Lord's dealings with us as his people. The final thing in the psalm is the prospect it unveils, the house of the Lord forever. Can I highlight to you again, there is an indication here that David wrote this psalm not as a young man in the fields of Bethlehem. That's what many most think and imagine. But there's an indication here he wrote the psalm as an old man, nearing the end of his life. Because here in verse 6, David's looking in two directions. He's looking back. He's looking back over his life. Because he says, all the days of my life. And as he surveys the life that he's lived, he sees clearly he has experienced God's goodness and mercy. It's good to take that in, men and women. And David says that he experienced God's goodness and mercy, not some days, but every day, all the days of my life. Dr. Harry Ironside, the American Bible teacher, used to say that goodness and mercy are the two sheepdogs that keep the sheep where they belong. It's only by goodness, God's goodness, it's only by God's mercy that we continue as we do in the Christian life. Mr. Spurgeon called goodness and mercy God's footmen. You see, men and women, how we have been blessed as we look back upon our lives. Goodness and mercy all the days of our life. But not only is David looking back, he's also looking forward, because he says the house of the Lord forever. He looks back in time, and then he looks forward to eternity. His thoughts are fixed upon eternity. The New Testament exhorts, let me remind you of that today, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. We live in a very materialistic world, a very materialistic age. Heed the exhortation of God's word. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. David's doing that in this psalm. And his prospect is an eternal home in heaven. Paul described it, writing to the Corinthians, as an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Can I encourage you today, ponder the glorious prospect that you have. Ponder, contemplate the glorious prospect of every Christian. Remember, there's certainty here. He says, I will dwell. There's not a doubt. There's not a question about it. There's eternity here. He says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that marvelous? In Christ's presence forever, never end. Our duration, our habitation in heaven. Eternal happiness, an eternal home. You know the words of the old hymn? We're going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven, and to bask in God's own light. What a prospect that is, men and women. May it comfort, may it encourage your heart today. A great preacher of a former age said, all this and still heaven to come. He was thinking of all the blessings God has bestowed upon us in this world and in this life, even all the blessings of salvation, and still there's heaven before us, still heaven to come. Let me just say to you in closing, Dr. John Phillips, he found his mother's Bible just the day after she died. He found his mother's Bible open at this passage, open at Psalm 23. And she had written just a simple note beside the psalm. Let me read the words to you. The secret of a happy life, a happy death, and a happy eternity. And that, men and women, sums the psalm up well. That's all. It's all contained within these six short verses. The secret of how to live a happy life, how to die a happy death, and how to have the prospect of a happy eternity. So I come back to the theme, the title. A message of encouragement. What encouragement there is here. A message of encouragement for every day of your life. That's what this psalm contains. And may the message of the Psalm 23, men and women, may it encourage your hearts today. The Lord is my shepherd. I trust that that's your testimony. You're able to own him as your Savior. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. May the Lord bless his word at all our hearts. The hymn 46, please. Though troubles assail and dangers affright, though friends should all fail and foes all unite, yet one thing secures us, whatever betide, the Scripture assures us that the Lord will provide. We'll stand to sing the hymn 46 together, please.
Yeah, what?
Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to praise Thee for all Your goodness and mercy to us. Thank You, Father, for Your hand upon our lives from the very outset. We thank You, Father, for how You've blessed us every day that we've lived. We thank You today most of all for the blessing of salvation, for the great provision that You made at Calvary for our souls. We rejoice in all that know Christ in this meeting. And Father, our prayer is that everyone in this gathering, everyone in our families, will be able to say beyond the shadow of a doubt, the Lord is my shepherd. Thank You for the comfort of Your word. Thank You for speaking to us today with good words and with comfortable. We thank You, Father, for this great assurance as we face the future, these uncertain days, these days, Father, of great pressures financially, these days of great confusion. We thank You for this comfort. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We pray that You'll write these words upon our hearts today. Give us great peace in our hearts, even, Father, as we rest upon them together. Answer these, our prayers. Go with us as we leave Your house. Remember the gospel service this evening. Bring in the lost. O God, come and visit us today by Your Spirit. We ask that there will be some in this house that will be born again of the Spirit of God. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, rest, remain, and abide with each one. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.